you know. You're listening to Radio, Radio. This is the Cliff Howarth Radio Show. Okay, so it is time for the Gezi, and tonight I am delighted to welcome here into the studio Rob Clark from the Wooltones. Good evening, Rob.
Good evening, Cliff.
And thank you so much for coming in tonight to Vintage Radio. And we're going to have a chat in a few minutes' time about everything music. But before then, we're going to start with a song. So what are you going to do for us to start with?
It's a song called It's Groovy In It.
Okay, it's Groovy In It, and this is Rob Clark live on Vintage Radio. And if you are watching on Facebook, you can listen to the whole of this session tonight at www.vintageradio.org.uk. Okay, let's go.
There with flowers in their hair, it's just not fair when you don't know what to wear. You've got to pay your dues if you want to sing the blues. You've got to pay your dues in your blue suede shoes. Automated tills keep giving you the ills. They'll tell you it's the truth, but it's all fake news. Window shopping, politicians hopping. Got a penny for the guy, but I don't know why. Got a penny for the guy, but I don't know why. I've got a penny for the guy, but I don't know why. I've got you. And it's groovy. Can't do that. Don't be a prat with a Siamese cat. There are hippies over there, they've got no hair. The clock is ticking, you're still kicking. You're just a survivor with a plastic fiver. A plastic fiver, but you're none the bloody wiser. You've gotta pay your dues if you want to sing the blues. You've gotta pay your dues in your blue suede shoes. I've got you. And it's groovy in it. Three, four, five, if you want to do the jive. There's no use in running, 'cause the bus isn't coming. Third class ace face, queuing for the rat race. No use in praying, you can't hear what they're saying. Traffic gonna go slow, the PM singing hey Joe. Ice cream, sun dreams, nude scenes, head of steam, the bread is on the shelf. You've got to help yourself. Some say we're ready, and others contrary. Some say Maria, and some call Mary. If they've got a telephone and they're feeling all alone, I've got you. And it's groovy. It's groovy. It's groovy. It's groovy. It's groovy.
That's Rob Clark live on Vintage Radio, and it's groovy. Thank you so much for that, Rob. Okay.
Thank you, Cliff.
Right, so we can have a chat now. We've started with the song, and the reason that we started with the song tonight is we are so, so lucky to be getting quite a few songs from Rob tonight. So it's not just the usual three. Okay, so background for the listeners. You've got quite a background. I've been chatting to Ray, who was in on before me with his fabulous show, and he said, "Oh, he said you've got a great guest in there tonight."
I told him, that, but you're fine. Yeah.
He's so knowledgeable. So, yeah. Okay, let's tell us a little bit about your background then.
Well, I started in Aberdeen as a teen, which rhymes actually. Maybe do a song with that one. Sounds like a bit like a Bruce Springsteen kind of Bryan Adams thing. Started Aberdeen as a teen. Anyway, yeah, started in Aberdeen as a teen. I was born in Liverpool and we kind of moved around a lot.
Okay.
My dad sort of moved from job to job. Anyway, we ended up in Aberdeen where I was as a teen. And was listening to Gimme Shelter one night in the bath and thought what a great thing it would be to get into music. And since that date, I sort of became, I was going to say more and more obsessed, but it was kind of like obsessed right from that moment onwards, really. It just kind of something I wanted to do. So I was a singer-songwriter up there, played in a couple of bands, and then came down to London, as you kind of do, or did in that era. Got a management deal and had a single out and played in a couple of bands one was with a guy called Jonathan Perkins, who was in Original Mirrors,
okay.
Originally.
Oh, yeah.
And met a guy called Robin Lumley, who was in Brand X, and we did a single together, which was released on InDisc.
Okay.
And then one of the acts that was managed by this management company was Flock of Seagulls, who were from Liverpool. So I got to know Frank and Paul from them. So when things began to sort of get a bit harder in London and it was kind of hard down there without a lot of money or backing, so we sort of took the plan of going back up to Liverpool, and we did a band up in Liverpool with Paul and Frank, me, a guy called Dave Goldring, who ended up in Bully Rag on the drums. And that sort of, after a while, didn't quite crack it with that, and went back to singer-songwriting again. Did that and then started to put out some solo albums. Met a guy called Fran Ashcroft, who's pretty much produced virtually everything that I've put out in the last few years. He lives just around the corner in Birkenhead, to be honest.
Okay.
And carried on like that, really, and then met some guys, and we did a site group called the Wool Tones. That's Rob Clark and the Wool Tones. We'd done some albums in that kind of format, and then I kind of got into country music a bit for a while, and we did one called Rob Clark with the Brown Bears, with some local guys, Alan Gillibrand on guitar, who was in 16 Tambourines. And other sort of big bands up here. And then, as a result of that, I ended up in Nashville with a guy called Elliot Mazer, who produced like Heart of Gold and Harvest and Neil Young stuff back in the day. So we were recording in Warner Brothers Studios, and the band there, it was like Nashville Luminaries.
Yeah,
the keyboard player was one of the original Muscle Shoals guys.
What?
Like, he was doing that when he was 16, 17. The drummer was Dolly Parton's drummer. The keyboard player, David Briggs, like played with everyone from Charlie Pride, Joe Cocker, to Elvis. in fact, I could tell you a story about it. It's probably not a good idea, but he was in Elvis's band.
Nice.
And that famous green room where you can see them all recording in Elvis's house, that was him. So what a fund of stories I got from those guys, anyway. Mainly to do with who took the most alcohol and other stuff, but it seems to be what people want to talk about the most. But it was a great experience driving around Nashville with Elliot every day. And he was, like Fran, he was someone who really got involved at the coalface of music. Yeah. I mean, he would, if he had to hire gear, he'd be there lifting it and helping it, putting it in the car and whatever. Every part of the sessions he was involved in, even to the extent he was out on the floor. I mean, I like to record live, so we were doing it live. Actually, the guitar player, Teddy Irwin, played on Happy Christmas, War Is Over.
Right.
And Heart of Gold. He plays like the harmonics on it.
Wow.
So he was in the booth next to me, as it turned out, waving at me and like smiling and trying to shout through the glass at me for whatever reason. I don't know why. This is when we're doing the take. Anyway, Elliot's out in the centre of the room conducting the band. I'm in my little booth anyway, and there's all this stuff going around. So we managed to get a couple of songs that were sort of mixed and ready to go. And on the final day, I mean, we had to get the plane back. This is me and my partner, Trisha. We had to get the plane back to Blighty. And Elliot arranged for us to see the head of Warner's over there, a guy called John Esposito.
Okay.
So his office is just like the best pad you've ever been. It's like right at the top of the Warner Brothers building, which is sort of like mid-sized kind of tower block, but, you know, nice looking.
Yep.
His office is like full of guitars, amps, your table, you know, there's an office-y bit, a bit like where you could crash as well, your TV, media stuff. It was just unbelievable. Wow. And this is his office at the top of this building. So anyway, we'd only just finished mixing these songs like 10 minutes before in my hotel room. Elliot had mixed them on his laptop, and he had a deal with Gibson, so we were using these little Gibson speakers. In fact, Gibson had provided, given me a couple of guitars for these sessions, uh-huh. which was very decent
cool.
of them.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'd only mixed this stuff 10 minutes before, and we're really beginning to panic. Elliot says, I'd rather not finish than turn up late. You cannot keep the head of Warner's waiting, no. sort of thing. Anyway, by sheer luck, we managed to get it finished. I got in John Esposito's office, stuck the CD in his CD player, and you're thinking, is this going to work? You know, will it work? Did we put the right songs on? Anyway, the first one comes on, and it's like a sort of slow ballad called In My Dreams, like an Orbison mm-hmm. type thing. Strings and the whole thing. Kind of possibly a dodgy one to start with because it's kind of slow and bit sort of like ghost-like almost. Anyway, there's no reaction from this John Esposito until the end, and he says that's absolutely fantastic. That he says uh-huh. that's absolutely lovely, and I says yeah. I wrote that one about my dad, you know, who died mm-hmm. a few years back, and his eyes started to mist over, and I thought, we've got it. We're going to get a deal. He absolutely loved this first song. Because the second one was like a very kind of anthemic American, I've just mentioned Bryan Adams, like
yeah.
something like that. You know, like a real kind of, the kind of thing that you imagine would go down
yeah.
big down there, which is why we'd done it. So I thought, God, if he likes this first one, we're well in. And to be honest, the first song is the kind of thing, I've got loads of that kind of song. Second song, he's tapping his foot all the way through it. I thought, I can't believe this. We're going to get a record deal.
It's the reaction
deal
you want, isn't it?
We're going to get a record deal from Warner Brothers. Anyway, at the end of it, he says, no, I don't like that one as much as the first one.
Oh,
right. So that was
all
it.
Right.
We then had to meet this solicitor called Craig Hayes. And all the time, I was looking at my watch. And anyway, Elliot brought this Craig Hayes round by about midday. And we had to be to get the plane at, I forgot what the time, maybe 5 or 6 mm-hmm. in the evening, and it takes 4 or 5 hours to get from Nashville to Atlanta. And Atlanta is, it's the busiest airport on the planet. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm not sort of exaggerating. That is what
yeah.
it is. It's like a town. That there's bits of it all over the shop, and you've got to get in a tube or a train or a bus to get to them. And then, of course, so I'd slammed the, once we finally got away from Elliot and Craig, slammed the foot down all the way, and then we got to Atlanta. I thought, oh my God, because normally you think in the airport's on the other side or whatever, mm-hmm. we'll just go around. You've got to go right through the centre of Atlanta yeah. in rush hour. So anyway, and then there was a jam there, and then there was another traffic jam in the airport. The airport is so big, there was another traffic jam there. So I'd given up completely. I'm thinking, God, this is going to cost thousands. We're going to lose these flights. We're going to have to... Anyway, we finally got in, went in the wrong place. This guy says, oh, you've got to go there. Got to this lady at this sort of... It wasn't the check-in. It was something to do with the airline. And she managed to get us on in the sort of nick of time. And then we sort of got home and I sort of crashed out in front of the fire, and I sort of woke up, I could say in the morning, God knows what time it was, but I woke up after whatever, 8 or 9 hours, and I woke up and I thought, the guy, you know, John Esposito, he rang us back to say, I love that first song so much, come back, yeah, we're going to give you all this money to do more demos.
Really?
Oh, great. And then it slowly dawned on me that, I'm going to say, no, that didn't happen, did he? That's not what happened. He hasn't rung back. He might do, but he hasn't. It was just, I was that tired. Well, and
I'm playing tricks.
But yeah, anyway, so I sort of rung up Elliot and said, I've just had a dream that John Esposito's come back to us and offered us more money to come back. He says, oh, well, you know, dreams come true. It's anyway, so far, not much, you know.
Well, that's a great experience, though, Rob.
It was fantastic. Fantastic,
absolutely,
yeah.
Fabulous, yeah. And you've got quite a varied background and musical influences. I mean, you talked about listening to, you know, the Rolling Stones and stuff. Was that your thing back in the day? Is that
definitely? And yeah. Beatles, Stones, all that 60s stuff. There's so many, even like
great bands,
yeah, and like one-off singles that were made in the 60s or two-off or whatever. There was just a load of great stuff. And then, you know, Neil Young as well, which is kind of partly why I ended up with Elliot Mazer, was another sort of hero as well. I tend to gravitate towards that sort of classic stuff, you know, rightly or wrongly, but not to say there's not a load of great new stuff, but I'm sort of interested really in how all that stuff was recorded, how they did it, how they did it in every way, not just the recording, you know, the creative side of it. It's probably why I end up doing what I do. The Wu-Tone stuff is sort of heavily 60s kind of influenced. So,
Okay. So, we're going to go with another song, if that's okay.
Yeah.
You ready for that? Before we do that, if you could possibly just switch that fan off, because it's it'll be better on that.
Yeah, I stopped it moving. Is that
No, if you could just tell me. Switch. You just switched that. The fans getting on our nerves here. It's getting on my nerves. It's just making
too many fans.
Too many fans. So it's making a little bit of noise. Okay, so. We're up for our second song. As you say, we're very lucky that we're getting more than we bargained for here today with Rob. So, what are we going to do?
A song called It's Only You.
It's Only You. Okay, so this is Rob Clark live on Vintage Radio with It's Only You.
It's only you, don't give your love to me. What good would it be if you came back to me? Anyone could see it's only you for me. Only you, if you come back you'll see it's where you want to be. Don't make me tell you he would love you more than me. It's only you for me. It's only you. Time goes by and that's just fine. If you'll be mine all of the time, and if you leave, I'll guarantee it's only you for me. Give your heart to me, in case it cannot be. But when he sets you free, then I'll be there, you'll see. It's only you for me. It's only you. It's only you for me. It's only you. It's only you for me.
Absolutely beautiful. That is Rob Clark live on Vintage Radio. It's only you. Thank you so much, Rob.
Cheers.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about recording wise. I was lucky enough to get hold of your latest single last week. Thank you so much for sending that through to me. Mm-hmm. And I gave it a bit of a play last week, mm-hmm. and it's on the playlist to be played again. So, what are you recording at the minute? Is that part of something that's.
Yeah, we've got a third album that's sort of in the. I was going to say it's in the planning process. Really, it should be a lot more than that. We had all the songs ready in January. It's just been sort of difficult for one reason or another to get the sessions together to mm-hmm. get them all recorded. So about 2/3 of them are done.
Okay.
But some of them are not. I mean, that's a new song
yeah.
that I've just played there. So, yeah, so we're sort of in the middle of it, really, and okay. trying to squeeze it all in and get it all finished. But as I was saying earlier, I kind of like to record live, so...
Yeah.
We sort of do all the basic backing tracks live, and then maybe just add a few little bits and pieces to sweeten it up a bit, as they say. So.
Okay, so where do you do your recording?
In the garage.
Really?
It literally is a garage rock.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, other than my stint in Nashville, everything else I've done for what last 8 or 9 years has been in that garage, in my garage.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And you say it's the third album, yeah?
Yeah.
So the last
Tones, yeah.
Yeah, from the World Tones. So the last one, the big night out.
Yeah, we had the World of the World Tones.
Yep.
Big night out, and then this one coming up. We came across a guy called Ray Gianchetti, who runs this American company called Cool Cat Music.
Okay.
Which sort of power pop a lot of the stuff, but anyway, he expressed an interest in us, so he's repackaged the stuff to put out there. So we did one called I Will Toned as well, which is sort of a mix of everything that we'd done
right.
up until then.
Yeah.
Which actually was his bestseller of the year in the year it came out. So
oh, that's good.
It did good. So he's a good guy to have around.
Okay, that's good. So tell us a little bit about the day John met Paul, which is what Ray has prompted me to ask you.
Yeah, on Big Night Out, we have a bonus disc, which was a recording of when we played at the 60th anniversary of when Paul originally met John at St. Peter's Church Hall in Woolton.
Okay.
So we were fortunate enough to play at that with Colin Hanton, who was the original drummer. And we kind of thought, well, this is a rare event. Let's record it, which is kind of what we did. So the bonus disc with Big Night mm-hmm. Out is pretty much a verbatim live recording of that day, and I kind of researched what happened. So we basically played the same stuff that they played.
Yeah.
And anytime we were in doubt is great, because I could just turn around and ask Colin, is this what I'm saying here, right, Colin? Said, yeah, right. So there's a few times we got the heads up from Colin that what, even to the extent of like changing some of the words, because Lennon didn't really know the words, because in that era, the only way of finding out the words was to often like try and pick them up off the radio and
yeah.
like, scribble them down. That's, you know, if you weren't lucky enough to be able to access the record or whatever.
Yeah.
So he changed the words, which apparently was one of the things that impressed Paul McCartney. But Come Go With Me had Lennon's lyric had something about a penitentiary in it, you know, because mm-hmm. blues songs are someone's in a penitentiary. So we did all stuff like that, really, and even the extent of all wearing check shirts and the kind of wow. style of the day, and even to the extent that, for instance, my acoustic guitar wasn't amplified.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it was a big church hall, we didn't, other than the vocal, nothing was amplified.
Yeah.
Which we knew might sound a bit sort of weak by modern standards, but that's the way it was at the time.
Yeah.
And we wanted to record it live, and we didn't really want anything getting in the way of the recording either.
Yeah.
Yeah, without shortchanging the audience. But mm-hmm. we wanted it to be an authentic thing, which is what it was.
Okay.
So it was great to sort of play with Colin, and then we got him round to record with us on one of our songs called Two Lane Blacktop, where he sort of played on that as well. So he's a good guy. He's got a book out at the moment called Prefab. But no, he's very approachable, as I think they all are.
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting. And Mona Best as well.
Yeah, she wasn't at that. John Lennon's sister, Julia, was there.
Really?
And various kind of like famous engineers and photographers were there as well. Mona Best, yeah. Pete Best's mother. Rogue, is that how you pronounce it? Mm-hmm. Rogue Best. I've been to the museum that he's organised in Matthew Street. I would say that's the best Beatle museum I've been in.
All right.
I haven't been in many Beatle museums, but it's the best one I've been in. I think it's great because they've got a lot of original stuff that was given to members of the Beatle family, so to speak, or the Beatle extended family, things that were given to the Best family. So it's a completely authentic museum. Mm-hmm. It's not just sort of cobbled together from auctions and stuff. It's actually stuff that was given to people at the time. So it's absolutely fascinating. Expensive to get in, but it's kind of worth it. Recommended. And Mona Best was almost the Beatles' first manager. I mean, she was really important to their kind of development. Very kind of unusual lady.
Again,
which you would find out in the museum.
Yeah, well, it's worth having a look at that. Okay, so as far as your band goes, the Walltones, I mean, who plays in your band apart from yourself?
Well, we have a guy called G.P. Chesters, who is actually really a drummer who plays the bass.
Okay.
Make of that what you will. We're kind of the idea of the Walltones really is that it's almost like you're a schoolboy kind of band.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of excitement of when you first played. So that's the idea really of him playing bass rather than drums. Okay. And then the drummer has got quite an unusual name. Who Knows Pepe? Strange name.
That's cool.
But yeah, he's the drummer. And then Fran Ashcroft is the producer. So a lot of the sort of production sort of things that you hear on the songs are his input. And he gets quite involved in the artwork as well.
Okay.
And some of the sort of more conceptual ideas behind what we do. Really, the Walltones, it's kind of almost like a parallel world where I think almost every musician in some ways is trying to create a better world or certainly a different world. Well, the world of the Walltones is, that's our kind of stab at that. So it's funny things happen. For instance, this latest single we've got, In Ordnung, which is German for all right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope it's German for all right. Depends if this guidebook I've got is is actually something to be relied on. Hopefully it is. But yeah, in our kind of world, obviously there's a lot of political, what would you call them, ructions?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good... It's probably more than that, really. Crisis, that's probably a better word.
A mess.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on at the moment. In our world, Britain is leaving the EU to join the communist bloc of the 60s and 70s because they've got a lot of tomatoes. Like every table over there has got bowls full of tomatoes. So it's like it's similar in some ways, but it's kind of like not at all.
Yeah.
We're not going to be joining the Eastern European communist bloc of the 70s.
Yeah.
And whoever thought of that,
I know.
It's a bit off the wall, but that's what it is. That's what it is.
Oh, indeed.
That's our new single.
Indeed. That's a good one as well. The Walltones, is that a play on from Walton? Yeah.
I don't know whether it's very imaginative or not. But
that's cool.
It's one of them things you sort of dream it or wake up thinking, I know what, Walltones. Has anyone ever done that?
Yeah.
It's... Because why do you think it's... Well, it seems really obvious, doesn't it, really? Maybe it is really obvious. Sure it is, but anyway, it's...
that's a cool name.
Yeah,
that's a cool
sort
name
thought for that's, a that's what... That's the name, yeah.
Okay, so we're ready for song three, because we're going to squeeze five, and we're going to be really cheeky here tonight.
Yeah.
What are you going to play for us now, Rob?
I'll play the English version of our new single.
Okay.
All right.
So this is live on Vintage Radio, Rob Clark. Mm-hmm.
the BBC. Then they want a license fee. All right. All right. They keep saying that it's gonna be all right. Plastic in the ocean and the fishes don't like it. Styrofoam bottles and your dad's old bike. All right. All right. They keep saying that it's gonna be all right. Cat's in the cradle and you can't catch me. You won't find me hanging from a tree. Got time off for good behavior. See you later, alligator. It's not fair, but it's all about the money. That's just trickle-down economics, honey. Right. All right. They keep saying that it's gonna be all right. You won't like it, but it's gonna be all right.
Fabulous. That is all right. That is the English version of the new single from Rob Clark. Thank you so much for that, Rob. I love that. I love the sound of that. The guitar in that is great. It's just so lazy sunny, lazy sunny days.
Kinks, back. Bit of Kinks there.
Yeah, a little bit of Kinks in there.
With a bit of an Inordung German.
Yes, indeed, indeed. So your back catalogue then, can people get hold of that through
Bandcamp? Bandcamp is the obvious place now. We have a website as well, you know, robclarkandthewooltones.co.uk, but Bandcamp. It's got all the Wooltone stuff, my solo stuff, and the Brown Bears stuff, that sort of country album we did.
Okay, so people want to have a little delve into the back catalogue while they're waiting for the next album to come out, then have a little look on Bandcamp and go along, and why not purchase some stuff as well? It's always good to support local music, and why not? Mm. Okay, so Facebook-wise as well, you've got a Facebook page so people can find you on there as well.
So, Rob Clark Music and, Rob Clark and the Wooltones.
Okay. So, gig-wise, is there any plans to play around anywhere so people can come and see you play, or...?
Well, we did a gig at Cash 22 earlier. As I said, we did that one a while back in St. Peter's Church Hall. We normally do the IPO every year. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
The IPO, Cavern, run by David Bash.
Yeah.
Apart from that, really, we've just got to get this album done and then take it from there, really. So, okay. Yeah. I mean, I do a lot of gigs as a solo person. But in terms of the Wooltones, we need to get the album done and then we'll kind of see what happens.
So we may see it at the next IPO then, which is it's usually around May time, isn't it? I think is
good thing that it's because people fun. Are from all over the place, isn't it? It gives it a different kind of vibe, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's bands from all over the world come just to play.
Well, so enthusiastic, aren't they? Because it's a big deal to them.
Yeah.
And it should be a big deal to us, but because we live here, of course, it isn't.
Of course, I know.
I get used to it. But,
the great thing with that is as well, it's at the Cavern. Club and pub, isn't it? I think you flip between the two, and it's on for, you're normally for about a week, all three, and there's so many great bands and singers, and I say,
and it's all day. I mean, how David Bash does it,
I don't know,
because he goes around the world doing these and all over the place.
Well, that's right. I mean, my mate, I used to go to a lot of the gigs where he introduced me to the IPO stuff, and he's now in Sweden, and I believe that. He's done something over there, David, as well.
Yeah.
Done the IPO over there, so fab. It's
the big American cities in Europe.
Yeah,
all over the place.
He gets around. And I say it's great for anybody who just wants to go along and have a little look at live music and has not seen any of these bands before. There's so many to choose from. I mean, I often have a look at the schedule there and I'm trying to pick out what I can do because of work-wise and stuff. And this stuff goes on right from midday right through to midnight, doesn't it?
I don't know how he does it. Because he's there all the time.
And he's so enthusiastic every day about every act that comes on. He puts so much into it.
Yeah,
fair play to the guy.
And it's loud as well.
It is. I don't know. It is loud. I will give you that one. It is loud. Yeah. Right. Okay. So songwriting. How do you go about writing your songs? I mean, everybody who comes in here, I ask that because I'm always intrigued by how people go. Everyone's got their own little method and what comes first. And
I think it's just any way possible. I mean, a lot of the good ones. Because it's in your mind, you know, you go to bed thinking about it, and then you wake up and you've got something in your mind, a bit like McCartney with the Yesterday thing.
Yeah.
That happens quite a lot, and when it does, they tend to be some of the better ones, really. So that, you just got to make sure that you get up and record whatever the idea is on your phone. So probably like a lot of people, I've got literally thousands of little snippets
bits,
on my phone. I mean, it used to be, I had like a little dictaphone before that and then a little like portable Roland recorder, but your phone will do for it now. So I just have a load of little bits and pieces on the phone, and then when you're kind of thinking, right, I need to write a song now, if it's not something that's, you've woken up singing, which is the best... If it's not that, you just sort of think, okay, what have we got here? And start going through all these old tapes. You think, because some of the stuff, it's a surprise. God, is that me playing? Is that me? Because you can't remember it. And the feel of stuff is vital, really, because you can write down the chords or you can think, I'll remember that and whatever. But the actual feel of what it is about it that makes you enthusiastic enough to either record it or want to do something with it, that's the key to it, really. So it's recording it at an early stage is good.
It's
beyond that, not really bothered whether the words are first or the music's first, or just get the idea however it is.
You said there with the guitar, strum and stuff comes from
sometimes
there,
but as I say, some of the best ones, there's no guitar involved, really. It's formed in your head while you're asleep or I always remember Chrissy Hynde said a lot of her stuff is, she just thinks of it in her head. Actually, when I was in London, I had to supplement my meagre income at the time. I had to spell engineering and I recorded their demo of Don't Get Me Wrong.
Really?
So that was interesting to hear a song as good as that.
Yeah.
From basically the first time anyone had ever heard it. And it always sounded good. I don't know whether I thought it would go on to do as well as it did, but you could tell it was like a really good, well-constructed song.
Yeah, great,
really good song. And the version we recorded was almost identical to the single.
Yeah.
Other than they added some sort of keyboards to it.
Yeah.
And that was it, really. Uh-huh. Exactly the same kind of thing. But yeah, songwriting, it's just a matter of being open to stuff and however it works. It's not a set formula. It's really just however it is. I'm lucky because Fran, who I've talked about, if I've got something that sort of still needs arranging, he's the producer. He's like indispensable for that kind of thing, really. So
yeah.
I'm kind of lucky in that respect that even though I do solo stuff or write the Wooltone stuff, but there is an input from elsewhere that helps me out. That's important, really.
Yeah, I think so.
Even if you're a solo act, it's still really a team effort.
Yeah.
You've got to have...
Sometimes need another EA. You sometimes need, a little bit of input as well.
Well, I think the biggest thing I learnt in London when I kind of like struggled there for the best part of 10 years is that constructing a sort of team...
Yeah.
Or something around you is really, really important.
Yeah, I agree.
You can't do it all. You need help.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, right. We're gonna try and squeeze another two songs in if we can. So, what's the next up for us?
A song called Better Times.
Better Times. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, won't you come and run? time, another place. Better times and better days. Once long ago and far away, somewhere in our yesterdays, we can share the love we made. Better times and better days. I won't be scared of being hurt as long as I have you near me. We can touch infinity, see anything we want to see. So everyone will find a way. Better times and better days.
The show must go on. If you see any smoke coming through, it's burnt.
Once long ago and far away, somewhere in our yesterdays, we could share the love we made. Better times and better days.
Okay, complete with Fire Alarm, that was. Better Times from Rob Clark.
Bit of overdubbing on that.
Yeah, sound efficient. That's the third week on the run that's gone off. If these are going to have planned fire drills, they need to let us know in advance so we can work
it's
it
pretty
around.
Inconsiderate, to be honest.
Oh, what? Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Okay, so what does the rest of the year hold for you then, Rob?
Well, as I say, I'm doing some solo gigs, and then... Actually, one of the interesting ones I did this year was the Liverpool Acoustic Birthday Bash at Upstairs at the Leaf. It's quite a nice place to play that.
Yeah.
Kind of almost like a concert, really.
It's nice up there, yeah.
So that kind of thing. And then, as I say, we've got to finish this album.
Got the album done, yeah.
We did a Christmas single at Christmas last year.
Yeah.
We might re-release that again. Actually, I call it a single. It's an 8-inch EP. It's sort of five songs on it and various bits and pieces.
Okay.
So we might sort of re-release that. And yeah, depending upon how the album is going, we might sneak out another single before the album's finished, depending upon how long it's all taking, really. We'll see about that.
Okay. Well, that's all interesting. And you have to get that across to us, and we'll give it some airplay on here
as well.
Yeah. There is so much great talent around him. I've been so lucky, sat here listening to guests like yourself come in.
I play football with some of them. Robert Vincent plays in football with us, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's full of musos, that game.
I believe so, yeah.
Johnny Sands turns up and plays from time to time as well.
Cool. That's good.
So there's not only a lot of musical talent, there's some footballing talent.
Some footballers out there as well.
Although I would say that probably the footballing talent isn't as... strong as the musical talent, but that's another story.
Indeed. I mean, we're so blessed to have.
Can't be great
so
at everything.
Yeah. What's your advice to up and coming singers, songwriters in the area? Because there are that many who are that good, and you think it's a fine line between, you know, getting on and not getting on, and who's going to listen to you, who won't listen to you.
There was two things. A bloke called Tony Elliott, you know, was in the 16 Tambourines, who used to run a lot of open mics and stuff that some of them I used to go to. He always said, number one, get out the house. I think that is really good advice.
Yeah.
If you're at home, the chances are you're probably not really being much of a musician, other than if you're recording and writing songs. And even that, so you've got to get out the house.
Yeah,
as much as possible. Network, sing, play, just get out of the house.
Okay.
The other thing I would say, which is probably a bit unusual, I think folk clubs are great. I mean, they're not... Obviously, there's a lot of folk music played at folk clubs, which is not everyone's cup of tea, but some of it's very, very good, and there's certainly a lot of great instrumentalists that go to folk clubs. But I think the audiences that you get there are really good.
Yeah.
Because they're literally sat right in front of you. You can see the whites of their eyes. I just think it's the best thing you can do, you know, if you're at that stage where you're thinking, right, I need to get out of the house and I need to get used to playing. I think folk clubs are great because you get a very good idea of what a song might be, what a song could be, audiences, what audiences respond to. I just think it's absolutely invaluable.
Yeah.
Unless you're literally just going to be, in a way, like the Beatles were.
Yeah.
They played dance halls and stuff, didn't they? Town halls,
yeah,
and the Cavern. But if you're a singer-songwriter, I think a folk club is a great way to get a good appraisal of where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not just your friends.
No.
Well, it's not your friends at all.
No.
Chances are you might not know anyone in there. So you get a good idea, really, of where your place is.
I think the other thing with that as well, Rob, is that they're quite attentive because there's one locally to me, Muggle at St George's.
I've been there a couple of times.
Henry Priestman playing there, and the audience were great because there were four or five acts on the night, but they listened to everything, and there was no chats in between. There was no, you had their attention, and that makes such a difference.
You can't put a price on that. I mean, it can almost be a tiny bit off-putting at the start that you think, my God, there's people actually
paying attention.
They're not pretending to pay attention. They are paying attention.
Yeah.
As I say, it's one or two songs in a folk club to me is worth, you know, 9-10 songs in a normal situation where you're kind of insulated in a lot of ways. You've got a PA, microphones, all your instruments, might even have some lights. You're not as central to the evening's entertainment in a folk club. You know, everyone is there to see the music, full stop. Other than there might just be we go there because we've always gone there. But in general, they're all there to see the music. So that's good. And the other thing is there's folk clubs everywhere.
Yeah, there are indeed.
I wish I'd thought of that when I was in London. You know, it didn't, and there was no open mics really in that era either, really. You tended to kind of suffer for your art in a garret kind of thing. You know, it's kind of harder to get out of the house.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of no need to now.
There's that many. There's open mic nights all over the place now, isn't there? There's loads of stuff. Which, again, it's a great opportunity for people to get up and play their few songs and hopefully to an attentive audience, depending where it is and etc. But yeah, it's a great little avenue, I think, for singers.
I think it's a lot better than even things where you've got all your friends there.
Yeah,
that's not. It's better than nothing, and it's
good. But you need new people.
I mean, it's also good that you're building up. You know, you've got a circle of people, which is a lot harder to get when you get older. Because as you get older, people don't really want to go out as much.
No, they've got other
kinds of things that they want to do.
That's true.
So yeah, I mean, it's great if you've got 10 or 20 people that follow you around.
Yeah.
But it's still interesting to see what happens when they're not around.
Yeah, you need to pick up new people from there as well, don't you? And yeah. Okay, right, I've run out of time, so we're going to finish with a song, Rob, if that's okay. And first of all, I'd just like to thank you so much for coming into Vintage Radio and being part of the Gezi. This has all been recorded and will be podcast as well, so anyone who's been listening tonight, you want to have a listen again, or in case you've missed it will be up as a podcast from Saturday, and I'll send a copy over so you can have a listen to that as
well. That's great, appreciate you having me as a guest.
More than welcome. Cliff. And I hope that you'll come back when the album's out as well.
Sure.
And play for us again. So, Rob, thank you so much. And what are you going to finish with?
It's a song called Big Big Bad Bad John.
Okay, take it away.
Big Bad John has been gone too long. Sing, why did he with his glasses on? Many things have come and gone, dead and gone, but the beat goes on.
John. Oh, Big Bad John. Oh, Big Bad John. John, it's the same old song. Why did he got my glasses on? Many kings have come and gone, dead and gone, but the beat goes on. Get stuck. Talk about it. Donald, Big Bad Donald, Big Bad Ron, Big Bad Ronald, Big Bad Boris, Big Bad Boris, Big Bad Morris, Big Bad Doris, Big Bad Norris, Big Bad Jezza, and Two-Ton Tessa, Big Bad Donna. When she gonna? Big Bad Mark rhymes with Clark. Big Bad Mike on the mic. Big Bad Phil from Brazil. Big Bad Pete from Quarry Street. Big Bad Clifford, he likes Chris Difford. Big Bad Birdie, Birdie Birdie. Big Bad Tony, he ain't no phony. He ain't no phony. He ain't no phony. Big Bad John, Big Bad John. Hey, Big Bad John. Oh, Big Bad John.
Absolutely brilliant. That was Rob Clark live on Vintage Radio. Rob, thank you so much for joining us.
Cheers. Thanks again, Cliff.
You're welcome.
You.
A little message just to let you know. You're listening to Vintage Radio. A little message just to let you know. You're listening to Vintage Radio.
Any opinions expressed here on the Radio Show are solely mine, and not necessarily those of Vintage Radio.
This is Vintage Radio.